What a wonderful day. Thank you for joining the Sage Saith podcast. The episode today is number 1708-23, A Year with the Church Fathers. See poverty as an opportunity for service. Theodore tells a rich nobleman that the poverty he sees all around him is there for a reason. It's a call for the rich to act, giving them an opportunity to serve God by their generosity to God's people. When he distributes wealth and poverty among us, the Creator does not judge unjustly. He gives the rich the poverty of the poor as a means for the rich to be useful. So he brings chastisement on us, not only to punish us for our faults, but also to give the wealth opportunities to show kindness to humanity. This year, the Lord has sent us scourges, far less than our sins, but enough to distress the poor farmers whose suffering I recently brought to your attention. I beg you to pity the tillers of the ground who have toiled away with so little result. Let this bad year be a suggestion of spiritual abundance, and by exercising compassion, gather in a harvest of the compassion of God. Theodore, letter 23. Do I make use of the opportunity the poverty all around me gives for serving God? Closing prayer. Lord, send your generous rain on our thirsty lands, and make the fruits of the land ripe for the harvest. Use me to bless the poor of your people, the widow, the orphan, the strangers, and all who are in need. Through the Year with Thomas Merton. In the spiritual life, I made a beeline for the little grove of cedars that is behind the old horse barn and crowded up against the far end of the enclosure wall, and it was nice. By the long time it had took me to get completely recollected, I realized that I have been awfully busy and my mind is terribly active, and if I had to give an account of my stewardship, I would have to fall upon God's mercy more heavily than ever, because it seems to me that since I became a great success in the book business, I have been becoming more and more of a failure in my vocation. Not that I haven't made efforts to keep my head above water, but in the spiritual life it is not so hard to drown when you imagine you are swimming. The sign of Jonas. Magnificat, a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 19:1. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times, Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a large, huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding payment back where you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back all the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to do that. Should You have had pity on your fellow servant, as I had pity on you. Should you have not done so? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. The Gospel of the Lord. Meditation of day. Receiving mercy, giving mercy. Without the truth, love could not serve. In love, I want to see my brother and sisters with God's eye, not with my own. God sees my brothers and sisters much differently than I do. God sees the errors of their past, yet at the same time, God's gaze embraces their sincere desire for conversion. How then can their past exist? Our sincerity, repentance, and love are met by God's mercy. It is similar to the confidence a mother inspires in her fragile child as she lovingly protects it from the danger of falling. If my whole being is not full of mercy for others, I am not worthy to call myself a Christian. Without mercy, I cannot hope to receive the Lord's mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You have loved me, Lord, who created me from day and clay. You know my fragility and my weakness, and show me your tender mercy. Golden Nuggets from the God's Little Instruction Booklet 1, 2, and 3. Golden Nugget number 1 is inspired by Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. Heaven goes by favor. If it went by merit, you would stay out and your dog would go in. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved. Golden Nugget number 2. Inspired by Matthew chapter 13, verses 16. A blind man who sees is better than a seeing man who is blind. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your eyes, for they hear. Matthew 13, 16. Golden Nugget number 3, Proverbs chapter 15, 31. Man occasionally stumbled over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing happened. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Chesterton, Day by Day. Once, men sang together around a table in chorus. Now one man sings alone for the absurd reason that he can sing better. If scientific civilization goes on, which is more improbable, only one man will laugh because he can laugh better than the rest. Heretics. Reflection. The Lord does not allow his faithful servants to be shamed. If often happens that martyrs in Christ, ridiculed and mocked before the courts, unexpectedly performed a miracle which instilled fear in the believers. Either the idols fell, or thunder destroyed the temples of the heathen, or an unexpected downpour of rain extinguish the fire prepared for their burning, or the torturers beat themselves with stones and rods and so forth. Thus, while he was torturing St. Myron Antipater, suddenly went insane and killed himself. St. Alpheus, the iconographer, was already at the end of his life when he received an order from a man to paint an icon of the Dormition of the Most Holy Theotokos. As the feast was approaching, this man came several times to see if the icon was completed. But the icon was not even begun by the eve of the Feast of the Dormition, when the icon was supposed to have been placed in the church. When this man had gone home, grief-stricken, a young man suddenly appeared in Alpheus's cell and immediately sat down to paint the icon. He worked very quickly and with great expertise. When the icon was completed, it shone like the sun. After showing the icon to the astonished Alpheus, the young man took the icon to the church for which it had been ordered. The next day, that man who had ordered the icon went to the church, and to his great surprise, sighted the icon in its place. Then he came to the monastery and, along with the abbot, entered Alpheus's cell. "How was this man's icon painted so swiftly, and who painted it?" asked the abbot. The ailing Alpheus replied, "An angel painted it, and he is standing here now to take me away." And with that, he gave up his spirit. A quote from St. Teresa: "You cannot be half a saint. You must be a whole saint or no saint at all."